As we open the Word today, we are looking at the Ten Commandments again, and we want to be sure that we recognize the Ten Commandments are not man's commandments. They are not ideas that were created by Moses. They are not something that came out of somebody's pipe dream. They come from the heart of God. As Moses went up to see the Lord, God gave him those commands and said, "These are my moral commands for people of all times." And he gives us these commands that we might have them before us and remind us constantly of God's justice and God's standard of righteousness. We are not made righteous by keeping these commands. We do not reach or attain to a holiness by making ourselves do these commands. We are not saved by these commands. But these commands are God's standards, God giving us a measurement whereby we can see if we are conforming to His will or not. We are backtracking this morning and going back to the fifth commandment because we missed that and we wanted to share that on Mother's Day. So turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20 if you have them. If you don't have them, we're going to read along on the overhead as we do each week we're speaking about this issue. We want to read the Ten Commandments together and we're highlighting each of those, not reading the whole portion in its entirety. Will you read with me as we list the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet. This morning, as we look into the Word, we are highlighting that fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we open the Word this morning, our desire is that we would hear from You. As always, Lord, we as ministers of the gospel want to step aside. We would love for Lord Jesus, for You to come and just preach this sermon. But Lord, barring that, we want to be Your servants and we want to be the mouthpiece for You. So take from us those things that are worthless, those things in us that may hinder, and allow Your voice to be heard. And that still small voice of the Holy Spirit that speaks to us. Speak to our hearts this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to remind you by way of introduction that the last of these commandments, 5 through 10, deal with our relationship to other men. And God is dealing with us about character. The commandments build character. What is character? Character is what you are when no one else is looking. It's what you are deep inside. It's the very essence of who you are. In the eyes of God, He sees not your body and not your talents and not your achievements, but He looks at the character of your heart and He evaluates who you are. The commandments are to build godly character. Character building begins in childhood. Every one of us began in this world as sinners. I assume that you knew that. If you didn't, you should watch some babies as they grow. For very soon you'll see that they become rebellious and cantankerous and they even mess their diapers and they don't clean it up. Every one of us is born with a sin nature because of Adam and Eve's sin. It is passed along from generation and generation to us. And we have a broken character. And God wants to be about the business of rebuilding that character and bringing us back to the image of God as He intended. So character begins with childhood. The communists some years ago, in their intent to brainwash children, said, "Give us your children until they're 5 years old and they will be communists for the rest of their lives." That's because character is built into the child in the early years, the formative years. God has established that in those formative years in a Christian home, we should be bombarding our children with the Word of God. One of the reasons we have the Awana program is that in many homes, the Word of God is not taught. And many parents have neglected that responsibility to build into their children character through the Word of God. And so we assist in that, but the responsibility is still for the parent to build into their children the godliness that God would have them to have. So I want to speak to parents for a moment this morning. And then we're going to talk to children. Parents, this morning I want to ask you a question. Are you building character into your children? Let me take it a step further. What kind of character are you building into your children? Or no matter who you are or how you behave in your family, you're building something into your children. You're patterning behavior and values into those children that will last a lifetime. They are watching your behavior and your character more than what you say or what you teach. So by example, you set the pattern, you walk the steps, and they put their little footprints into your pathway. They are imitators of you. They will be just like you. It is possible to build godly character, but it's also possible to build ungodly character. Parents, are you building anger into your children by your example? Parents, are you building insecurity into your children by the way you behave? Parents, are you building fear into your children because you are a fearful person? Parents, are you building laziness into your children by your example? And finally, parents, are you building low self-esteem in your kids by the way you live and the way you speak and the way you behave? It's inevitable. Moms here this morning, you have put your imprint upon your child and your children. Whoever you are and however much time you spend with your children, they are like soft pieces of clay, and everything that you do and all that you are is imprinted on them, and that lasts a lifetime. And so God in this commandment wants to remind us, as he speaks of relationships with other people, he begins this part of the commandments with honor your father and your mother. He speaks to all of us through this command. Honor your father and your mother. Every one of us have fathers and mothers, even if you happen to be a child who doesn't know who your biological parent is. You have someone who has acted as that surrogate parent, that surrogate mom or dad for you. And they are the moral character builders in your life. And you need to be careful to honor them. God says so. This is the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. And it's the only commandment with promise. Did you get that? This commandment brings along with it, shall I call it a bribe, an incentive, a reward, as Thomas Aquinas called it. There is a reward in keeping this commandment. Honor your father and mother so that your days will be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. All right, everybody that's under 40, look up here. Do you recognize it? You didn't realize, but Star Trek got some of their information from the Bible. And Spock, who did his blessing, would hold up his hand. All of you that are Trekkies, I'm a Trekkie. I love Star Trek. Put your hand up like this. Very few. I'm glad to see a bold Trekkie among us. And what do we say as we greet someone in farewell? Live long and prosper. It's exactly what the Word of God is saying here. Spock doesn't remind us of the commandment, though. He just gives the blessing. God says, honor your father and your mother, then live long and prosper. God wants us to prosper as we are obedient to Him, and He gives us a command and He gives us a promise that when we do this, we will live long and prosper. But you say, Pastor, I know somebody that didn't live very long and they were very obedient to their parents. See, we don't measure a long life by the years that are spent. For I know some people that are in their 90s that many people wish they had never been born. I know many 90-year-olds that wish they could diminish their life and put more quality into it. See, God looks at life differently than we do. And so if we are obedient to our parents and obeying and honoring our parents, God says this reward will follow you. and you will be honored. God's moral laws are these: honor your father and your mother, you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not lie, you shall not covet. These things, God says, bring reward to those that obey him. We're going to look this morning at the command, honor your father and your mother. And as we look at the command, we want to look into it to see what it means. First of all, the command, honor your father and mother, helps us to realize that God is concerned about honor. Notice the command didn't say obey your father and mother, but that's understood. The word God chose to use here is honor your father and your mother. Let's look at what that means. To honor someone means, first of all, to respect that person's position or authority. To honor someone is to recognize and respect their position of authority over you. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2, 17, that it applies not only to parents, but to all men, because everyone is due some honor. And he says this: honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear or reverence God, and honor the king. I hope all of us can say that we do honor the king, the president of the United States. But it goes farther than that. God says this respect that God wants to build into us, this honor of your parents, your father and your mother, begins with father and mother, but extends to all of society. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13, because we're going to read that portion. Romans chapter 13 is often overlooked. It's the end of that wonderful book. And it gets down to those basic admonitions and exhortations, and we tend to rush through it. But chapter 13 is talking about this idea of honor and respect of those that are in authority, not just parents, but it begins in childhood with honoring your parents. And he says this: let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are not appointed but by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resist the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror for those who do good works, but to evil. Do you want to be afraid of the authority? Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on everyone who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also because of conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs are due, fear or reverence to whom reverence is due, and honor to whom honor is due. God says it begins with childhood, that he wants to build into us this respect of authorities. It begins with your parents. I was in the fifth grade. There was a young lad in our class that obviously had no respect for his mother. His father had divorced his mother, and he was living in that single-parent home. And that was rare back when I grew up, you know, back in the early days of yesteryear. But I remember going to a particular baseball game and being in the bus with this kid, and he had forgotten something at home. I believe it was his glove. And he had called. They stopped and he called and he phoned his mom. And then he got back on the bus and he started bragging to us about what he had said to his mom. And he said, I told my mom, if you don't bring my glove, I am going to smack you. And he bragged about it. And he went on and on for about 10, 15 minutes, bragging about his disrespect of his mother and bragging that I've done it before. I yell at her. I call her names. She does what I want her to do. Now, there's a little rascal that somebody needs to take and put over a knee. And I know it's not culturally acceptable, but he needs to be hit real hard in the backside. He needs to learn respect for authority. If you treat your mother that way, what are you going to do with a teacher in school? Or the babysitter that comes to the house? Or a policeman that stops you along the road? Or if you should be in the military, to your sergeant or those in authority over you? You see, God has built into his plan that in every one of us, he wants to build a structure of authority so that we recognize and we respect those in authority over us. Does that mean that they don't make any mistakes? No, that does not mean that. Those in authority often make mistakes, but God said, he didn't say, obey those who don't make mistakes. He said, obey those who have authority over you. Respect them and honor them for their work's sake. It was Mark Twain that thought his father didn't know very much, and he said this, "When I was 14, my father was so ignorant I could hardly stand the man. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished how much he had learned in 7 years." How often we as children, and teenagers especially, look to our parents with disdain. We think, what do they know? What do they know of what I feel or what I think or what I'm going through? And why should I listen to them? The answer is here. Because they are due the respect from you as a child. Because they too were children once. And they were called upon to honor their parents. For parents have already gone through their teen years, thank God. And now they can help you get through yours. So honor them. The second thing this means is your willingness to obey and learn. God is concerned about honor, and honor means respect, but it also means willingness to obey and learn from those in authority over you. Willingness to learn. In the Old Testament, God was very, very strict about this. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord gives you." Here's another promise that God adds to the commandment, that when you willingly obey your parents, it's going to go well with you. Now, I grew up in a home that really believed in corporal punishment. That is, they believed in spanking. I hope you believe in spanking, not beating, not tormenting or cruelly punishing, but in spanking and correcting a child when he's wrong. For God says, in doing this, we lay a foundation so that it may go well with that child. My mom and dad had all kinds of rules that I didn't agree with. But we found out very early in life that if you didn't agree with the commandment, your backside was going to get red and sting. And there was a reason for that. It wasn't that mom and dad hated us, although sometimes we thought, they just love spanking. I can't wait to be a parent. You see, the purpose of the spanking was not to punish, but to instruct and to help us avoid the consequences of our actions later in life. We didn't understand the command. We may not have agreed with the command, but they made sure your backside got very, very warm and uncomfortable until you conformed to the command. And then you would find out it's going to go well with you. We had a large family, 6 kids, and 5 of those were boys. That's not an easy thing. And we were stubborn, and we were stupid. My mom started out giving paddlings with her hand. And she learned very quickly. Cheryl learned that too. You'll break your hand. And so she went to something a little stronger. She tried a newspaper, and that didn't work. And then she tried the paddle. Well, paddles are flat, and you can usually avoid the hurt that goes with it. And so she progressively got a little more serious as we grew older. I shouldn't tell anybody this today, but She eventually ended up using an electric cord.
Oh!
Now that's cruel and unusual punishment, I know. And Mom looks at it today and says, oh my, how could we have ever done that? But you've got to understand the context. We have five disobedient boys, one preppy, spoiled daughter. And Dad, who worked 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, and Mom didn't have a belt. And so Mom found the thing that really worked, and she tried it once and found out that's better than a belt. That really hurts. That stings. I don't recommend it because it leaves welts as well. But anyway, my mother used this on us, and my dad used this on us so that we began to feel terrorized by the electric cord. All Mom had to do was reach up and rattle it. We were like trained dogs. We didn't salivate, but we stung. And we remembered. At least some of us did. I was about 13 when it suddenly dawned on me. I made the connection. Electric cord when you're bad. Spankings when you don't do what you're told. Mom says it, you ought to do it, and your fanny's going to be cool. And so at 13 years old, I made a decision, and I can remember that. I made a decision. I'm not going to get any more spankings. I want it to go well with me, as the Lord said. And so I made that conscious decision, and I said, I'm going to do what Mom tells me to do. I don't agree with it. I don't like it, but I'm going to do it because I hate the spankings. And you know what happened? I never got another spanking. And my brothers continued to get spankings. Now, that didn't make me real popular. My brothers got in the room one day and said, you're Mama's favorite because you never get any spankings. And I just looked back at them and I said, stupid, get the idea. Obey, you don't get spanked. You see, there's a correlation, and God says, if we honor our parents, we will willingly obey them so that it will go well with us. Put two and two together, folks. When Mom and Dad use the paddle or the belt or hopefully not the electric cord, they're trying to teach you that there are consequences and rewards for behavior. And that will follow you all the days of your life. And so to learn it well is God's way of saying, I am here to help you get along well in your life. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's pretty matter of fact. Guys, obey your parents because it's right. Duh. Girls, obey your mom because God says it's the right thing to do. And then in Colossians, he comes back to say the same thing to the people in another city, and he says it a little bit differently. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In all things. Wow. You mean I have to obey my mom and dad in everything? Yes, everything within reason, unless you have some psychotic parent that's asking you to do sinful things or something that's detrimental to society. Yes, you're supposed to obey your parents in all things. When Mom says, pick up your clothes and straighten your room, what does that mean? I don't know. It means pick up your clothes and straighten your room. And yet how many of us as parents have had to go into that teenage or pre-teenage room and we open the door and we go, oh, I can't breathe in here. I can't move. How do you live like this? You live like an animal? You've heard it. The routine goes on and on. And it happens with every generation. We're laughing as parents, not because of you. We're laughing because we went through the same thing with our parents. God is building into us a structure of obedience so that we can have straightened homes when we grow up. Our daughter had such a terrible room. Oh, my goodness. It was right across the hall from my room, our room. And we'd have to come out of our bedroom and look at her. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. There was no order. They're complaining about the tornadoes they hit the Midwest this week. We had them early on. It was like there's no place to put anything. It's just throw it. And so we made a new rule. We said, if you're going to live like that, you shut the door. Shut the door and live like that. And then her teenage friends started to come and visit, and you heard them go, your mom and dad let you have your room like this?
Yeah.
Let me help you clean it up. Somebody told us, when your daughter gets married, she'll be a stickler about her house. Her room may look like a tornado today, but when she has her own house, she'll be a neatnik. Don't you dare spill something in my daughter's house. Don't you leave your trash laying around. What happened? Character was built by the example and the command and the obedience. The third thing we need to see is that God is concerned about honor being your attitude. Honor is about attitude. Your attitude toward your parents, your mother or your father, or the rules in general. That is, we should speak honorably to our parents. Our attitude is showing. Whatever we say about our parents reflects our opinion about them and our real value of them. When God says, honor your parents, He says, I want to see a right attitude toward your parents. You know, there are some stern warnings in the Word of God for children who dishonor their parents in this way. There are four of them, and I'm going to name them very quickly. First of all, God says, do not curse your parents. Jesus used it twice, and He used it from the Old Testament. He said, whoever curses his parents deserves to die. Now, He didn't mean kill them, but in the Old Testament, the command was, if you are disrespectful to your parents and continually disobedient and dishonor them in that way, you're cursing your parents. And he that curses father and mother, according to Proverbs 20:20, his lamp shall be put out into obscure darkness. Ooh. In Exodus 21:17, he says, he that curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. Now, we're not advocating that you're put to death when you curse your parents, but God's concerned about the honor that comes through your attitude. Do you curse your parents? Usually we think of curses as being four-letter words, but curses can be more than that. Curses can be calling your mom or your dad names. My old man. I thank God my son, to my knowledge, has never called me his old man. That's because I'm not old. There's something disrespectful about that. If you call your mom that old nag, or that old battle axe, or you can fill in the blank, you're cursing your mom, and you're cursing your dad. Your attitude is showing that's dishonor. God says He is concerned about the honor of our hearts, and it shows through our attitude, which always shows through our lips. The second thing says, do not mock your father or your mother. Proverbs 30:17, the eye that mocks his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the eagles shall eat it. Ew. The eye that mocks his father or mother, God says, is so serious that God says the ravens ought to pluck your eyeballs out. The idea being, shame on you for mocking your parents. Did you ever do that? Your mom or your dad was just in your room and told you what for and straightened you out, told you the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be changed. And as soon as they turned their back, you were bold enough to go. I remember somebody in our family that did that. And mom turned around and saw. I'll tell you, they wished the ravens had plucked their eyes out. Because that electric cord sure hurts, and it leaves marks. God says you don't rob your parents. Proverbs 19:26, he that robs from his father or chases away his mother is a son that causes shame and brings reproach. Proverbs 28:24, he that robs his father and mother and says, it is no transgression, the same is a companion of the destroyer. And finally, God says, we should not strike our parents. Whoa. You know, I believe we're living in an age where disrespect of parents is getting to the point at which it's going to be commonplace for children to hit their parents, to smack them back. Because society wants us to believe that corporal punishment, punishment of the paddle, is evil, and it's not evil. God says, spare the rod, you'll spoil the child. If you don't discipline your child, you'll reap the benefits, which will be terror in your household. And so if we listen to our society, there will be no rules, there will be no respect of authority. And God says, do not strike your parents, because that will come back to strike you. How would you like it if you as a parent were respected in the same way you respected your parents? That's God's idea. He said, I want you to honor your parents so that eventually when you become a parent, you'll receive the honor that's due you. As you are treated, so you will see it come to bear in your life. In Galatians, it says that, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. What you sow in childhood, you'll reap in adulthood. What you sow as a teen, you'll reap later on. God says he is concerned about the attitude toward rules. Lastly, God is concerned about honor being gratitude toward your parents. Gratitude. He's concerned about attitudes, but gratitude is another part of the heart. Gratitude refers to the idea of cooperating with your parents and being thankful that you have them. With all the spankings that we got as children, we loved our family. We loved our home. And I remember neighbor kids coming over and playing with us and saying, I wish I could be in your family. And secretly we said, they'd like to know if they got the electric bell one time, man. They wouldn't want to be in our family. But you see, there needs to be a high estimation of your own family. That every child and every parent and every individual that's a member of the family has a high estimation of his family and gratitude for it. Parents, we need to be thankful for our children. Yeah, you could have gotten worse ones. Look around. Now, some of you are at the dead end. They said, yeah, I looked around. We got the worst. Now, you know, if you got the worst kids, that's because you were that way with your parents. Guaranteed. Talk to Paul's parents. Paul was such a hot wire. I mean, this kid was hyperactive into everything. Ah, drive you nuts. And what did God give him for a child? A blessing. So that he could receive the reward of his labors. And that's just an example, because we're all that way. You see, your genes and your attitudes and your gratitudes all pass on to the next generation, and it's going to come back to smack you in the face. So God says, I want you to honor your parents so you get the reward. I want you to be grateful for your parents, and if you are grateful and appreciative and do all of that, it's going to come back to you sevenfold. Because as you are, so your children will be. I remember Mom taking us aside, and can't remember exactly how old we were, but we were fairly young. And she said, I want to teach you to make a bed. Yeah. Okay, so we go in the bedroom, and Mom starts making a bed, and she had helped out with the wartime stuff, and my dad was in the military, and she learned to make a military bed. And so she taught us to make military beds. No wrinkles, folds in the right place, tucked under, folded over, lying down, tucked under again, tight, throw a dot, it bounces. We thought that was so stupid. But you know, there's something nice about a nice bed that's made. It brings pleasure to the heart, especially when company comes over and sees your bedroom. And you look at it and you say, wow, I am glad for parents that taught me some little things. I am glad my mom taught me to go to the bathroom. Sounds like a silly thing, but imagine it if it hadn't happened. It would be a very difficult adulthood and a difficult marriage. Which it is not, because God is gracious and God is good. Finally, I want to bring an application real quick, summing this all up and putting it all together. God wants us to do four things. Willingly submit to our parents' rules. Praise them for their work. Refuse to be critical of them. And assist them in the family work. You see, we are part of a family. And that family, God says, is precious in His eyes because it's building character into us. And you will get out of your family just what you put into it. If you rebel against it, you'll get that as fruit, because eventually you'll be a parent and it's going to come flying back at you. And so God says, put these characteristics into your home. Lastly, I want to give you a homework assignment. Pastor doesn't usually do that, does he? But this is Mother's Day, and you're going to sit around the table with Mom and Dad, and I want to give you an assignment. And this assignment is for parents, not for the kids, but kids join in. And the assignment is this. I want you to look at the household rules. We did this with our children. You can't really do it when the kids are really small. You don't want a 2-year-old suggesting the rules. But when they get to the age of accountability, anywhere from 9 to 12, depending on the maturity that you built into your child, they're able to begin discerning good and evil. And we sat down with our kids when they were complaining about the rules, and we said, okay, let's sit down and talk about the rules. Let's have you draw up a list of what rules you would have in the house. And you know what? They drew up the same rules we had, except they put them in their own words. And then alongside it, we said, okay, I want you to tell us, if you break the rule, what's the punishment? There's got to be a punishment, or otherwise nobody's going to obey the rules. Okay, yeah. And they thought for a while, and you know what? They came up with the same punishments. Why is that? And as we went through that process, suddenly those rules became internalized. And they weren't Mom and Dad's rules anymore. They were our rules for our home. And when you broke the rules, we brought the list off the refrigerator and said, okay, here's the rule, here's the punishment. I didn't make it up. You agreed on it. You made it. And this is what you have to do. You know, there's something maturing about that. In which you bring children from the place of angrily saying, I don't want to do what you tell me to do. And you bring them into the loop so they are agreeing together with you that this house will run much better if we have some rules on the refrigerator. Now, I suggest that they not be 300 rules, but you can probably come up with 10 to 20 that apply to behavior around the house. And your kids can assist you in deciding what the punishment might be. Now, if they decide that there's no punishments, they're vetoed, they're thrown out of the room, and you go back to the old rules. But it's a good exercise for parents that have children that are in that age of 9 and above, where you can think through why you have rules. God says, honor your father and mother. Because just as we honor our father and mother, so we are going to honor the Lord our God. If you are disobedient to the authority of your parents over you, you will be disobedient to God who is over you. If you rebel against their commands, you'll rebel against the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, I want you to build this into your life. I want you to be men and women of character. Honor your father and your mother. Let's pray. Father, as we close this service, we want to make a covenant with you and with ourselves that we will be honorable people. We will be children who honor our parents. We will be parents who honor our family and honor the Lord. And Lord, we ask that you would teach us to do so. You are the Lord. You are the King. And we want to honor your authority. And we want to make a commitment that we have decided to follow Jesus and to follow in his footsteps. And as we do so, Lord, we make that commitment to follow you in obedience to our parents. For it is right, and it is the thing that God wants us to do. We ask that you would help us to be able to do this with integrity and follow through. In Jesus' name we pray.